Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19, it's not my intention to speak at length today. As always, we'll try to follow the direction of the Lord in that, leave it in His hands if we will obey and be mindful of His direction. But we do want to read all 14 verses of Psalm chapter 19. And we'll just begin there before we make any comments of our own. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and, like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to also read just by way of a text for our thought today, Hebrews chapter 1. You don't need to turn there unless you'd like. The first two verses of chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. It is a fact, it is a truth that is more dear and more precious, I think, than any of us fully realize, that God has taken the effort to speak to us. He did not have to, but He desires to speak to you, and speak to me, to speak to humanity, to reveal Himself to us as His creation. The Hebrew writer talked about God speaking before by prophets. He talked about Him then speaking by His Son, in whom He created the world. And in this chapter in Psalm, we see a number of things and a number of ways in which God has spoken to us. And if you stop and think about that thought again for just a moment, that God speaks to men and to women, to children, it is impossible to overstate just how precious that is. That God has come and revealed himself to us. In this chapter, if I had a title today, it would be God's Trilogy. God's Trilogy. I'm not talking about his character as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. But in this chapter in Psalms, I believe we can see in some ways what might be considered three books that God has written to us. He has written to us a book about himself in creation. He has written to us a book about himself in the Scriptures. And he writes to us a book in our own hearts individually about himself. And I believe that it is important that you hear and read all three of these books. I've read many trilogies in my day, books that contain or a story that is separated into three different books. And God, I believe, has spoken to us, to you, and to me in one or all of these ways. First of all, he speaks to us in creation, and he told us this in verse 1 of chapter 19, the choir master to the choir master, a song of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. We have spoken a lot in recent days about the silliness in our view, in a biblically minded view, of the world, the silliness of our culture and much of what is called science and fact. And we've discussed at length how that a true look at the creation just cries out, just as this scripture says, of its creator. That no measurement of science could ever explain the fullness of the world and the universe in which we live. And so God has, first of all, spoken to us from the very world in which he has placed us. When your eyes settle on the river and the mountains and the trees and the snow and the rain and the stars and the sun and the moon and our own bodies and our own lives, we should be immediately reminded of the fact that God is speaking to us in these things. The sun is there because God placed it there. You're here because God placed you here. And we know this together. And again, we've talked at length about this, but even just recently I read of how sight itself, our sight, wouldn't be possible were it not for these little things called tear ducts. And the great work that God has placed in the human body of what those tears do in cleansing toxins from the body and in lubricating the eyes, and without tears, eyesight would be impossible. But the coming together of these things in our life and our world, our human bodies, and all of the complexities of the universe, both in looking outwardly in the universe and then inwardly with microscopes at the infinite complexity of life, the world cries out of its creator. And we know this to be true, but God has written this book of the world. He's written it so that we might be able to see him. It is one of the chiefest tragedies of our day that men and women have believed the lie that this world is explained merely by the things that we see in the world. When the Hebrew writer says that we know that things are not created by the things we see, but that God has called them into existence. That in the beginning there was nothing, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And then God said, I found a humorous example of this, of example of Genesis chapter 1, when it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the complexity of what light is, and it's impossible for me probably to describe it to you in words, but the image was simply, God said, let there be light, and then the astronomer put together all the equations of light and the complexity of what light is, and then at the end of it he said, and there was light. Simply by God's spoken word, the world came into existence. We know this. I know that if there ever were a time that a preacher was preaching to the choir, it would be now. I love the phrase that I heard many years ago. The reason you preach to the choir is to make them sing. So we know that this is true, that God has spoken to us in creation. And He's written a book, and not only that, but we're told in verse 4 that their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. So at least of these three books that God has written in communicating about Himself to man, all men have read book 1. Every man, every nation, every person has read book 1 in some way or another who has ever lived. Because every one of us looks up in the sky and sees the sun. And I marvel again at the scientific accuracy even of the scriptures. Long before men settled the question about whether the earth was flat, and long before science ever proved that it was not, the scriptures here, David, long, long ago, said that the sun operated in a circuit. And Job talked about the sphere that God had placed in upon nothing, speaking of the earth. But God has told us here that this first book of creation, all men everywhere have read this book. You've read it. When you look up in the sky and see the clouds and the rain and the sun and all of the things of the world, you've read this book about God. The sad thing is many people don't attribute the authorship to the right place. In thinking that the world is somehow natural, all the naturalistic view, the evolutionary view, that somehow the world just spontaneously came into being, we know how silly that is. And as I have said before, I do believe this. I might be wrong. I believe in 100 years, 500 years, at some point in the future, there's going to be a group of people with right-mindedness about life and a biblical view of the world that's going to look back upon our culture at this point in time, and they're going to be absolutely amazed at the silly things that we began to believe as a culture. The very obvious things that you don't get anything from nothing. We've begun to believe that. It's really alarming how far down this path we have gone to believing the absurd in the effort and in the hope to remove the authorship from God. Because if we make God the author, we know that we then now are accountable to Him, because this book also says that He created you and me. And that is where the rub is. In so many people's eyes and in their minds, in yours maybe, or even in mine at times, we don't like the idea that we are completely within the realm and the sphere of God. We do not control our own destinies, as it is called. We are not the captains of our own ship. God has placed us here. He has created us. We just recently went and saw one of the marvels of nature in the Niagara Falls, and just the amount of water that every second is flowing over those falls and the incredible power that is generated by that. But God wrote this book, and all of us, absolutely everywhere, wherever the sound of my voice may end up, we've all read it. You've read this book. And you read it every day. In fact, I believe that real and honest and true and effective and valuable science is exactly what that is. It's reading God's book of creation. And in creation, He has called to you and told you who He is. At least in part, He's told you that He exists. And so every man everywhere has read this book. That's what the scripture here, David said. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So this book has been written, this book of creation, that reveals to man who God is, that there is a God, that sun is there because it was placed there, not some silly cosmic accident of nature. And all of the things that we could spend hours hours and hours talking about the statistical improbabilities of all that we see in our life coming to be by natural selection. But the simple truth of the matter is, I think and I hope and I pray in your heart that there is a witness to the very simple truth that the only reason that we are here is because God has placed us here. That the only reason that the earth exists is because God has called it into existence, and He formed it, and He shaped it, and He brought the waters together, and He made the plant life and the animals and all of the incredible complexities of our natural world. There's only one answer to it deep inside our hearts, and that answer is that God has written a book of creation, and that creation testifies to us of Him. And everyone's read it. Everyone has read it. You've read it. You're not going to get past that. Again, there may be some who would place authorship upon something else and not attribute the reality of the world and the universe to the creation of God. But I will tell you this, that will and is known, that will be seen to be true. It is the only thing even that scientifically matches the facts. Though I know many would argue against that statement.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.